Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the H1 2018 results conference call for Neinor Homes. The presentation today will consist of the following. Juan Pelaez, the CEO, will present the results for the first six months of 2018 while providing the outlook for the business. Following that, our CFO, Jordi Argemí, will present the financial overview in detail. The team presentation will be followed by a question and answer session. There will be live questions for those of you that dialed into the provided conference call number, and as usual, you shall be able to submit questions at any time during the presentation through the Submit a Question to the Presenter window in the webcast application. I remind you that this webcast is being recorded and will be available within the next 2 days for replay for up to 12 months. Additionally, within the next few days, a transcript of this conference call will also be available for you to download. Juan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you all of you for joining us today at this time. I have to say that it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to show the performance of the company during the first half of the year, the execution of the team during the first half of the year, and also the results that this execution show. I'm going to try to, in the executive summary, just with a very short words, try to summarize what has happened this first half of the year, and afterwards I will zoom in a little in detail in a step by step. Let's begin with 2018, first half of the year, deliveries done. Second half of the year, deliveries ready to go. They will happen. 2019, all the 31 sites on track. Very strong progress during the first half of the year. 2020, significantly de-risked. Strong number of licenses have arrived. Land bank growing healthy with a new NAV reporting showing a +2% against the one presented at the end of last year. Revenues, our order book, growing strongly, healthy, and very disciplined. Construction activity accelerating dramatically. 56 sites, 4,600 units already under construction. Gross margin duly protected, +2% with a clear HPA outpacing our cost inflation. Last but not least, H1 shows already positive EBITDA of 2.6 million, but in my modest opinion, even more important, Q2 is the first quarter that we make money. 5.3 million EBITDA and earnings of 2.5 million. Our core business begins to flow through our P&L. Let me jump into details, because I think that this is the first quarter that the company is showing its strong leadership in the home building business in Spain. In slide six, you have a chart that tries to zoom in into our ramp-up. Let's begin with 2018. The 1,000 units delivery guidance will be done. We've had to deliver four sites in H1, and the four sites have been delivered. It is true that the last of them happened in July, but in July, we obtained the license for occupation, and today it is already notarized. Through our P&L, 150 units have went through, and the others will flow in this Q3. Regarding year-end, the 1,000 units will occur, will happen, and will flow through our P&L. The 10 sites are on track, and as we speak, we are obtaining the certificates of first occupation. 19, 2,000 units needs to be delivered, 31 sites. Strong progress during H1, all the construction milestones on track, and 70% pre-sold. And it's 70% pre-sold because it is our decision. The units not pre-sold, as the ones referred to 18, is because they are blocked, and we are just opening for sale again when we are really close to deliver to maximize our HPA. 2020, 4,000 units. You remember that we had 400 units with licenses in Q1. 1,800 units today. 45% of our deliveries are ready with license. And if this conference call has occurred a couple of weeks afterwards, some additional hundreds will be also here. Dramatic movement done in H1. All units for 2020 are already in commercialization. The number of licenses, I have already mentioned them. 655 units are already under construction, and 1,200 units, 10 sites, we are signing the construction contracts as we speak, because the licenses are with us already. Land bank. We continue with our disciplined approach to the land acquisition. We discussed the other day how we are seeing our land acquisition program based on top quality, fully focused on our regions where we have teams, with efficient use of equity, and beginning to work with the strategic land optionality. The result of that strategy is a land bank of 13,500 units. We have acquired 500 units of fully permitted land during H1, 1,400 units of strategic during H1. We have always emphasized our approach to ROCE. 78% of our fully permitted land bank is already launched, and we are working with a very significant pipeline for the second half of the year. You see the map where our acquisitions have been, and we will continue focused on this. Fully permitted land as our main driver, thinking about 22 onwards, but also top locations in strategic land with our equity efficient way of approaching to these deals. Pre-sales. Our land, our order book is today 930 million, almost 2,800 units. If you remember, in Q1 we had pre-sold 100 million. In Q2 we have pre-sold 150 million. But more important than that, today we have 7,000 units in the market. We are going to continue with our strategy. Strong pre-sales, but very disciplined. We will follow the sales and yields strategy because we do believe that there is a lot of HPA to capture out there. Until today, on a like-for-like basis, we have been able to capture the 7.9% HPA. This is margin in vain. And we will continue being disciplined in this approach. Construction. I do also think that this begins to show the strength of Neinor Homes. At the year end, this company had 36 sites work in progress. Today, and with 4 deliveries, obviously not being out there, we are with 56. We have started construction in 14 different sites, and we are going to start, because we have the license already, 10 additional sites that are beginning as we speak. We continue with a budget of 430 million contracted. We continue being with 1% below budget. 47 sites, 37 plus 10 new sites that are coming in, are at or below budget. And the company remains very comfortable with its approach to construction. For 2020, our next milestone, five sites already under construction, 655 units, 10 sites, 1,200 units in the final round of bidding, actually just being contracted. So we have for the second half of the year to contract 25 sites, 2,500 units, and they are just going through all the bidding, the procurement process on due track. Margins. We reiterate our gross margins that we have always announced to you. There's a lot of about HPA, about cost inflation. Let me just go through this slide. The HPA is running above expectations. The demand supply imbalance is there. There are increased cost pressures. Yes, it is true. There are inflationary market pressures. And it's also true that we are improving the product quality, a higher ASP, because we are seeing that we are able to capture additional HPA with a better product quality. And it's also true that the contractors are understanding our turnkey contract approach, and this is also putting some pressure on costs. Having said that, just remember that the impact of 1% HPA increase equals more than two times the impact of 1% cost increase. And we have decided just in our WIP to show you the P&L, the gross margin, on a unit basis. If you remember in the IPO, we mentioned, we explained to you that our SPA for this specific WIP, for these 46 sites, it was 326,000 euros per unit. Today, we are in 338. This is a 3.7% above the 3.8% that we had planned at the IPO. Our CapEx per unit, we said that it was going to be 152 during the IPO. Today is 155. This is a 1.8% above the 1.5% that we had planned. This means that the CapEx as a percentage of the revenues has decreased at 1%. And that the gross margin that we are making per unit has increased 8,000 euros, from 86,000 to 95,000. The consequence of that is that the 26.5%, it's above 28%, it's a 1.7% above, that is what you have in the chart below that we had disclosed in prior quarters. The 258 million that we were expecting with a 26% gross margin during the IPO, today we have said we are capturing 36 additional million of revenues against an 8.5 million of extra costs. This means a plus 2%, that is the target of 28%. We will disclose that quarter for quarter with the new constructions, but we can reiterate today that the margins that we have always disclosed, we are comfortable with them, and being able to even increase them. And do not forget also, in relation with this cost inflationary scenario, that in our budget, in our CapEx or construction budget, materials represent 70% and labor represents 30%. And the pressures that today we are facing in the Spanish market are referred to labor rather than to materials. So I think that good news in connection with our margins. And last but not least, our ancillary businesses. In the legacy, We have reduced our portfolio in another 25%. We have sold 20.6 million during H1. Our remaining book value is of 63.5 million, and we will continue on the same path. We will reduce prices to continue with the steady flow of sales, but we are not going to do anything crazy, or we are not going to accept sharp discounts. And in connection with servicing, also good news. Our assets under management today have increased to almost 1.7 billion. Another 175 million have come in because of Kutxabank's decision, and the revenues in H1 have been of 15.1 million revenue, 8.7 EBITDA, and a very solid and healthy margin of 58% margin. So let's go into financials, Jordi, and let's explain results.
Thanks, Juan. Before going to the financial statements, let me show three positive messages. The first one is that, in line with the best practices of the market, Neinor Homes has performed a limited audit review for the first semester, which has resulted in unqualified opinion by Deloitte, our auditor. The second one is the very good capacity of this company on the reporting. We have been one of the first listed companies reporting to the capital markets. Actually, only one company from the IBEX 35 has reported before us, and I'm proud of it. And the third message, as anticipated in the previous webcast, development deliveries have started in this second quarter. So for the first time, the P&L for the second quarter is already showing a developer P&L with a positive EBITDA and even also a positive net income. That's why I will present the results for the first half, but also I will dedicate some comments to the results of the second quarter. Having said that, let's go to the financial statements. Key messages of the P&L. Strong second quarter with almost 60 million euros of revenues, a gross margin of 30%, almost 6 million euros of EBITDA adjusted, and 2.5 million euros of earnings before tax. And if we look at the first semester, we have recorded revenues of 79 million, positive operating EBITDA of 2.6 million, positive EBITDA adjusted of 0.4 million euros, thanks to the good results from the second quarter that have fully offset more than 5 million euros of losses reported in Q1, and a financial cost of 5.3 million euros, which implies a loss before tax for the first semester of 5.4 million. On top of this, the official P&L includes the management incentive plan for an amount of 2 million. Remember that this incentive plan is fully paid by Lone Star, so no current investor is paying for this. And last comment in the P&L, the good results from the second quarter will continue increasing during the second half, given that roughly 80% of total development deliveries will happen then. Moving on to the cash flow statement, some critical messages. We have closed the second quarter with a positive cash flow from operating activities of 6 million euros. Almost a neutral free cash flow, which clearly differs from Q1, and a positive net cash flow of 4.6 million euros. Main reason is that development business has been self-financed thanks to the deliveries. If we look at the semester, negative free cash flow of 64 million, and two concepts behind this negative free cash flow. The first one is the CapEx of 128 million euros, and it's increasing, as Juan commented, given the construction activity has reached more than 50 sites, and the land acquisition of 75 million euros out of more than 200 million euros of land acquisition that Juan commented before, given that we are focused on maximizing the equity optimization in the land acquisitions. And last concept in the cash flow, negative net cash flow of almost 10 million euros. Regarding the balance sheet, it continues being very strong and healthy. The only change since the end of 2017 is the increase on the development inventories of 170 million euros, due to both the CapEx and the land acquisitions already commented. As a brief summary of the balance sheet, we have assets of 1.4 billion euros, equity of 0.7 billion, total liabilities of 0.7 billion, and obviously development stock is the main caption with 1.2 billion, representing almost 90% over the total balance sheet. And the critical comment here is that almost 80% of this stock is active. This KPI clearly shows how advanced Neinor is right now. Now, let's dip into the net debt position. As you may know, we have been always conservative when calculating the net debt position. We have always included two voluntary adjustments. One is to consider the deferred land payments as debt-like item. And the second is to deduct the deposits received from the clients from the cash and equivalents. Even that some investors said to us that we were extremely conservative and not comparable to other players, we have decided to present both numbers. So you can see the statutory net debt position of 381 million euros in the table, and also our net debt adjusted of 451 million euros. Despite using our conservative way of calculating net debt position, we have healthy leverage ratios and similar to the one seen in December 2017, LTV of 24% and LTC of 35%. And finally, given that we have performed a new valuation of the development assets, we have prepared a summary of the GAV and net asset value in slide 17. As you can see, total GAV increases up to 1.9 billion euros. 1.8 billion comes from the development assets and 0.1 billion euros comes from the remaining legacy assets. To reach the net asset value, we deduct two concepts: the net financial position, already commented, and the working capital excluding inventories of 124 million euros, basically constructors and other suppliers. This implies, as you can see, a net asset value of 1.3 billion euros and a net asset value of 1.2 billion euros. Important to say here that this net asset value does not include the value of the servicing, where we still have more than 70 million euros of EBITDA pending to record in the following years of contract, and the optionality value from the strategic land, which according to the third-party evaluator would be 60 million euros. So, should we take into consideration both of them, net asset value would increase from the 1.3 billion euros stated in the slide to more than 1.4 billion euros.
Thank you, Jordi. I think it's a pleasure to begin showing positive results. Let me dedicate a second to the non-financial reporting. I think it's important for us. We like to emphasize it because we do really best believe that there is a lot of value creation in the non-financial reporting matters. On one side, we continue tremendously focused on corporate governance and in corporate social responsibility. We are implementing best practices and best standards in the home building sector, not only in Spain, but internationally. We continue absolutely committed to sustainability. We do really believe that this is one of the drivers of our HPA. We have today 35 projects certified in BREEAM. And I would say that the most important message in connection with the non-financial reporting is the approval today by our board of directors of the Talent Incentive Plan. The Talent Incentive Plan has different goals, but basically try to align all the employees of the company with the value creation for the shareholders. That means that we have approved a bonus up to half a payroll, a salary, a year salary, if the share price increases 20% in 2 years period. This plan affects to all the employees except for the CEO, and we think that it's going to align even more the employees with the value creation for the shareholder, and it's also going to be critical to recruit talent and to retain the talent of these companies, because we do really believe that the 250 people in this company is our best asset and is the critical asset to bring value creation, as they are demonstrating in the results showed today herein. And finally, we continue focus with the digital transformation and innovation. A company like this, with the volumes that we are managing and our absolutely conviction that we want to lead this market as we are demonstrating as of today, we need to be supported by digital matters. All this, we are proud to say, and we encourage you to join us in September 24th to 27th in our Investor Days. We do really want that you can touch our land, our wheat, and our deliveries. I think that is the best way to demonstrate how strong the execution and performance of this company has been and how clear our leadership as of today is in the Spanish market. And we also will try to show you, to meet, that you have the opportunity to meet with our regional teams because they are the ones making this real. And finally, we will try to show this digital transformation experience with all the progress that we have been doing in different tools as big data for the land acquisition, as the customer centric to understand our clients, as the tool that we have to follow in full detail the timings of each of our sites, that probably behind some of these tools there is also an explanation to understand our improvement in following the track record of each and every milestone. So you have a detailed appendix which tries to give you additional information in each and every matter that we have been trying to disclose to you today. And basically now, if you want one, we can go to the Q&A.
So now we're going to have the time for the Q&A. So please, operator, just indicate to everyone connected by phone to how to ask for their turn, and we go to the live Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we will now take our first question from Jose Cravo of Nenor Homes. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Two questions, if I may. The first question is regarding building permits. I mean, right now you have 1,800 building permits out of the 4,000 that you need to deliver on 2020. Do you think, or can you give us some guidance on whether by the year end you could have 100% or very close to this figure? That would be my first question. My second question is with respect to 2020 contract. I mean, according to what you're publishing, throughout the year you should sign contracts with the contractors, with the construction companies, of over 4,000 units. And your peers have been giving some possibly more cautious messages with regard to 2020 deliveries with regards to cost inflation. I mean, right now you are you should be by far the number one company bidding in Spain. Can you give us some more color on whether your position, your leading position, is influencing this negotiation? Thank you.
Yes, Jose, very good questions, both of them, no? Regarding permits, today, this morning, I have in my inbox a new license. Yeah? I have been waiting until today for another 600-700 units that should be this week, next week, the week after. It's August, and if they don't arrive next week, they will have to go to September because you know that in August it's going to be difficult in the municipalities that they give us. The maturity of the licenses, because we anticipated them, you have a chart here, a pie, showing how long they have been presented. So we have a number of them that are going for 4 months to 8 months. So the answer is yes, we will show a very strong Q3 also. The company has done, I would say, a massive step forward, and I'm comfortable with the number of licenses that we will present in Q3 and at the year end. Okay? Second, in connection with the bidding, you have mentioned it. Today, Nenor, I think, begins to have a privilege. A privilege in connection with our bidding processes for a number of reasons. The first one is because we are bidding with another 60 sites that we have bidded before. So we have a real strong sentiment about what is going to come in those bidding processes. We have this privilege. No one else has a privilege similar to us today in the market. Second thing is what you are mentioning. We are beginning to be able to have, I would say, fluid discussions with those construction companies that we like, and we like basically because we have been working with them, because our strategy, you know that we have 27 different construction companies working with us. We know those that we like, and we are being able to have fluent discussions with them, and they are really touching that this company is going to beat these 10 sites that we have just commented now, but there are 25 sites that are coming. So obviously this leadership position, this strong position, it's making our relationships better, more fluid with construction companies. We will take advantage of it, yes. We are beginning to be able to just to try to speak with them about 1, 2, 3 different sites. We are beginning to be able to show with them how we can have them in a pipeline in order to align our interest with them. And this is going to be reflected. I have zero doubts, and it's one of our critical milestones and our goals of our operational team. Take advantage of this strong leadership position.
Sorry, Juan. Just one quick question. But on those contracts that you're signing, can you give us some like-for-like figure versus previous contracts in the same regions of what sort of inflation are you getting?
It's going to be aligned with the numbers that we have presented here. Okay? I think that in that sense, we think that with this 3% guidance that we are showing here in, let's see it, because we are going to present this number on quarterly basis, and you will have real numbers when we present that in September, but I think that we are comfortable. It's going to be in that alignment with the idea that I have wanted to emphasize. Obviously, there's a part of a higher ASP, so we are seeing that improving a little our product gives us extra protection to defend XPA. So obviously, we have to exclude that from a strictly cost inflation metric. And the second thing is that we are aligning our interests with the construction companies because we prefer to have very disciplined, chunky contracts so that they anticipate at the momentum zero, but at the end of the day, that's not cost inflation because it's going to be, at the end of the day, final cost of an agreement. We have also the privilege that we are going to have what is the real cost of a site, because you don't know the real cost until you deliver. Okay? So the real cost of a site, we are going to be the first one with 1,000 units to know real cost. And this is the metric that at the end of the day, for a home builder, that's a good metric, because it's not the metric of what you contract, it's the metric of what you deliver. Okay? We are going to have that. But if you want a number, use this 3% in your numbers just to have a sense of what we are seeing. But I repeat again, what we will begin to present is contrasting delivered numbers, final cost of a site, against against contracted cost of new sites.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jose.
Again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star and then one. There are no questions in the telephone queue at this time.
Yeah, I think we have some questions in writing. No?
Yeah, we have some questions through the webcast application. Juan, if you can give some color on how the deliveries of H2 are doing, how the works are progressing, and how confident are you in achieving the results?
Yes, I think that in connection with deliveries of H2 in 2018, I think that these days are critical because we are obtaining the certificates of final of works. So to have comfort deliveries at the year end, it's now a momentum when these certificates of final of works need to be obtained. It is happening already. One of the things that it's important, you see that from the 250 units of H1, we are with 150 that have flowed through our P&L in this H1. So we know that for H2, it's critical that this happens in November to have them flowing through our P&L. We are comfortable. You know that we have 1,200 units basically going on, so the 1,000 will flow through our P&L, and we are comfortable that this is going to happen. And I emphasize again, when you visit things like Getafe, like Adria, like San Just, when you come like Badalona, with 250 units being delivered in very strong sites, you will see the execution capacity of this company.
Very good. So we have some more questions coming in. One from Ami. Can you provide some color on your best estimate of construction time taken for delivery?
Of construction time?
¿Cuánto tarda?
Of course, I would say it depends. Obviously, it depends on the volume of the site. So you know that we are now dealing with size of 50 units, even less, in the north of Spain, basically, and we are beginning to deal with more than 200 unit deliveries. So it's quite different, the timing regarding one to the other. No? I'm proud to say, for example, that in deliveries, I begin by deliveries like the one that has just occurred in Neynor, in San Roque, the one that has occurred in July, we have the license of occupancy, of first occupancy, June 30. And today, July 23-24, basically 97-98% have already been notarized. This is, I would say, a very significant milestone that has already occurred in this last month. So it can go from 18 months to 30, okay? 18 months, it would be really tight in a 30 units to a 300 units that would be more in the range of 30 months. So it's quite, I would say, broad to try to say that in just a specific number of months. If you want to have an average, we continue saying that we have taken the cushion just from the learning of the past to be just above 30 months. But this is the milestone that we should have on average, 30 months.
The second one from Ami, can you give us an estimate of the total cost of the employee bonus scheme and timing of the payment?
Yeah, good question, Ami. I would say we have designed it, as I was mentioning, it's a way of aligning employees with value creation, but also it's attraction and retention. It's a part that today, the employees of Neynor, anyone that is thinking about home building in Spain, is thinking about Neynor. Okay? So we need to try to retain the massive talent that we have in this company. How we have designed it is that it begins on September the 1st, 2018, and in order to have the right to get it, you have to be in the company in September 20th. So it's a two-year plan. The cost, the maximum cost of the plan is 9.6 million euros for the 2 years. So it's below 5 million euro per annum. It's all the employees are part of this plan, except for me, except for the CEO, and what we are doing is half a salary. The what you are going to receive 2 years from now, if you are here and the company, the value creation for the shareholder has been above 20%. It begins with a 5% value creation that you have the right to half of the bonus. And the maximum is half a salary if it is 20%. For some specific employees, the top talented one, we are factoring them 1.5 or 2 times so that you will have the right to a full salary. This is just for a specific employees, and the number that I have mentioned to you, it's already including it. So less than 5 million per year, less than 10 million for the overall, it's going to be received in shares, and you have to be here in the company in September 2020. No, it's not going to be dilutive. It's not going to be dilutive. We will the program. We have some shares with us, as you know, and we will probably sufficient. If not, the company will acquire additional shares, but it's not going to be diluted.
We have a question from Fernando regarding legacy, after which you have said, Juan, would we expect some disposals to occur in 2019?
I would say the plan has always been to divest. So I think that we have this remaining 60 million and we want to get rid of it. We have always said it. It's also true that this begins to be the tail. So every time the liquidity of this asset is lower. So we are not going to do anything crazy. So if we need to take a significant haircut to make it happen in 18, probably the answer is going to be no, and we are going to just postpone that to 2019. In any way, it's not going to be significant, and it's not going to be relevant in our P&L. We will continue, hopefully, divesting at least another 25%, or probably more. We are prepared to reduce, to do haircuts. We are prepared to price reductions. We are not prepared to do something crazy.
Good. Let's go to the last one on the webcast from Ignacio. On page 17 of the presentation, there is GAV going up by 5% and NAV by 2%. Can you, given that HPA explained most of the GAV increase and that you leverage out, why does NAV not grow anymore? Jordi.
Two comments here. Actually, the increase in the GAV is mainly based on the CapEx investment done in this first semester. And the second concept is that you have to think that this is performed, this evaluation, no, by a third-party evaluator. And what this service, no, this company has done is to update the construction cost that has happened in the market during the first semester. Remember also that this evaluator is quite conservative. They don't assume HPA on the revenue side, but they have updated the cost. So that's why the margin or the impact in the net asset value has been reduced from the 5% to this 2%.
In addition to Jordi, fair enough. Fair enough is 2%. Hopefully, and this company begins to, maybe it's time for this year, and maybe it's time to begin to think in other metrics. So NAV will be there, but probably the execution that you have always requested to have valuations begin to flow through our numbers.
Okay, operator, let's go. There is one last question on the phone. Please go with that.
We can now take our next question from Jose Cravo. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry. Just some questions about strategic land. The first one is on the 194 million deals that you announced on the last call. Does that include any pending urbanization costs? That will be the first question. And then the second one would be, since you gave a guidance of 28% or over 28% gross margin, and the cost per unit should be around 138,000 euros. Those 1,400 units should have an average selling price of something between 400 and 500,000 euros. Is that correct?
Yeah, answering your two questions, yes, they have urbanization costs. So that's an all-in number, so including urbanization costs. The second question, yes, I think that our focus in strategic land, for sure, and this is one thing that we have very clear, we are thinking about top locations and our top land. So when we are, our focus on the optionality of strategic land is based in areas like San Cugat, is the one that we have in Madrid. So yes, it's going to be above the 400,000 euros. We have had a good news from the evaluator that it's saying that if this land were fully permitted today, not in 20, not in 21, with the HPA that we have to see then, today, the valuation of that land plot would be 255 million. So that's the 60 million optionality that Jordi has mentioned that is not reflected anywhere. But yes, your assumption is correct. It's top locations, top land, and this is it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we don't have any more questions, so I will thank everyone again for your participation today in this call, and I will pass on to the operator to close the call.